Best Dice Towers, 2026. The Keeper's Complete Guide, from $20 Bamboo to Heirloom Hardwood. Kenji here. One clean decision at a time and the whole table becomes easier. A tower will not fix a physically lopsided die, but by removing your hand from the throw it strips out the practiced, controlled roll and gives the most repeatable, tamper-resistant randomization on a tabletop. The lineage is older than you think. In the 4th century, a craftsman buried in Roman Vetways Pforzheim carved a tower of bone or wood with internal ledges, baffles, so that a thrown die would clatter and rotate unpredictably before falling forward. That object survives today, and its design is precisely, astonishingly, the design you can buy this afternoon. 17 centuries of woodworkers, machinists, and tinkerers have refined the finish, the joinery, and the materials. The problem the tower solves has never changed. A tower exists to take the throw out of human hands. That is the whole of its purpose, and it is enough. The craft lives in the details, which wood species rings true and resists warping across seasons. Whether the baffles are felt-lined to soften the fall, whether the joints are glued, magnetized, or folded flat for a satchel. In this guide, I have walked the full price ladder. From a $20 bamboo folder you can slip in a jacket pocket to heirloom hardwood that will outlive its first owner. Each pick is real, currently purchasable, and chosen for a specific player and a specific table. I will answer the question every newcomer asks. Do these things actually make my rolls more fair? Honestly, with the science, because reverence for tradition means telling the truth about what the tradition can and cannot do. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. Why does a dice tower matter at all? What does it actually do for a roll? A dice tower does three concrete things, and it is worth separating the real benefit from the folklore. First, it removes your hand from the throw. This is the heart of it. A practice player can develop an asterisk-controlled roll, a low, gentle release that favors certain faces. Drop the die down a baffled shaft and that control evaporates. The die strikes hidden ledges and rotates through chaos it never would on a flat toss. This is precisely why tournament backgammon has used towers for decades to remove any possibility of a player influencing the dice. Second, it contains the dice. No more chasing a D20 under the couch, no knocked-over minis, no dice sailing off the battle map mid-combat. The catch tray keeps the table sacred. Third, it quiets and protects. A felt or velvet-lined tower softens the fall, muffles the rattle, and saves both your table finish and the sharp edges of metal or sharp-cornered resin dice. The idea is genuinely ancient. Towers have been used since at least the 4th century in an attempt to ensure that dice roll outcomes were random. You are not buying a gimmick. You are buying a 1,700-year-old solution to a problem as old as gambling itself. The oldest one still exists, the Vetways Pforzheim Dice Tower. A Roman example unearthed in Germany, dates to roughly the 4th century and has essentially the same internal baffle design as a modern tower. When you drop a die today, you are repeating a Roman gesture almost unchanged. Tower or tray, get both. A tower without a catch tray just sprays dice in a new direction. The cleanest setups are tower and tray combos, C4 Labs, Elderwood Scroll Plus Codex, Wormwood's Nesting System, where the tower's outlet feeds directly into a lined tray. If you buy a bare tower, budget for a tray too. Do dice towers actually make rolls more fair, or is that a myth? This is the question I am asked most, and the honest answer has two halves. A tower cannot fix a biased die. If a die is physically lopsided, uneven pips drilled into the faces, an air bubble in cheap resin, rounded corners worn unevenly, it will land unfairly no matter how you roll it. No baffle geometry rescues a die that is mechanically loaded. If you want true fairness, start with precision, casino-grade, sharp-edged dice. But the asterisk method of rolling absolutely changes outcomes, and that is where a tower earns its place. A peer-reviewed study from Western Kentucky University rolled 30 D20s at least 3,000 times each, comparing an automated mechanical roller against the same dice thrown by hand through a dice tower. Its conclusion is blunt. The method of rolling heavily influences the outcome. Translation: how asterisk you roll matters as much as what you roll. A tower replaces an inconsistent, potentially biased human throw with a repeatable mechanical tumble. It does not manufacture randomness from a broken die, but it removes the single biggest human source of bias, your hand. So the truthful verdict: a tower makes your rolls more consistent, more tamper-resistant, and more repeatable, which for any group that cares about fair play is exactly what more fair means in practice. Pair a good tower with good dice, and you have done everything a tabletop reasonably can. Your lucky roll technique is just bias with good PR if you have a special way you cradle and release your dice for the big roll. I have bad news from the lineage. That is a controlled roll, and a tower exists specifically to kill it. The players most resistant to towers are often the ones who, consciously or not, benefit most from rolling by hand. Drop them down the shaft and let the baffles decide. Fair play in three steps: 1. Buy sharp-edged precision dice. Rounded corners drift towards certain faces. 2. Roll every consequential die through the tower. Every time, consistency is the point. 3. Use a line tray so a die that lands on edge settles cleanly instead of being nudged. Do all three and no one at your table can credibly cry, "Rigged." What materials should a dice tower be made of, and why does the wood species matter? Here is where I get to talk craft, because the body of a tower is not a neutral choice. Hardwoods, cherry, black walnut, padauk, purple heart, wenge, ebony. These are the heirloom materials. A dense, kiln-dried hardwood resists warping across seasons, takes a finish that deepens with handling, and gives the die a crisp, woody knock as it descends. Wormwood, for instance, offers 8 species, from the warm red of cherry and padauk to the near black of wenge and ebony, and the choice is partly tone, partly grain, partly how dark you want the piece to age. These towers are built to last a lifetime asterisk, and the better makers glue and pin or magnetize rather than relying on cheap fasteners. Bamboo. Technically a grass, not a wood, but a wonderful budget material. Fast-growing, sustainable, light, and naturally springy. Bamboo folders, like the TDSO, are the workhorses of the portable category. Acrylic. Modern and theatrical. A transparent acrylic tower, C4 Labs, Gamegenics Crystal Twister, lets you asterisk watch the die tumble, a real pleasure, and pairs beautifully with velvet-lined wood paddles inside to soften the noise acrylic alone would amplify. Resin / 3D printed PLA. The realm of dragons, skulls, and castles. Cast resin and printed PLA make sculptural, themed towers possible at any budget. The trade-off: hard plastic interiors are loud unless the maker adds felt, and detail-heavy designs can be fragile. Leather and leatherette. Used as a wrap, Elderwood's full-pressed leather, or as a folding body, Cthulhu's tower. Velvet linings inside leatherette folders make them among the quietest towers you can carry. Loud tower. Line it. The single most common complaint about cheap towers is noise. Open-design towers are easy to fix. Adhesive felt or craft foam on the baffles, and the tray floor drops the rattle to a whisper. Velvet or felt-lined models, C4 Labs, leatherette folders, solve this out of the box. On hardwood build quality, a long-form reviewer of Elderwood Academy's Cherry and Leather Codex put it plainly. Every seam is smooth, the wood is finished beautifully, the leather is well-treated, the magnets are set perfectly aligned. That is the bar a true heirloom tower clears. What's the best dice tower if you're on a budget or need something portable? You do not need to spend a fortune to roll fair. The budget and portable tiers overlap heavily, because the engineering challenge, fold flat, assemble without tools, still baffle the die properly, is the same one. The trade-off at this tier is honesty about longevity and silence. Folding mechanisms have more moving parts. Thin panels can rattle, and magnets are the part most likely to weaken over years of heavy use. But for the price of a couple of dice sets, you get a genuinely portable, genuinely functional tower. That is a remarkable bargain by the standards of this craft. Buy the tier that matches your table travel and convention play, then folding bamboo or leatherette. TDSO, Bear Dice, Cthulhu's Tower. Fixed home table, then spend up for acrylic with tray or hardwood. You are not folding it anyway, so prioritize quiet, capacity, and looks over packability. Skip the STL, unless you already own the printer. If you already print, themed STLs are the best value in the hobby. Is a premium hardwood or heirloom dice tower worth the money? The baffle does not know what it cost. But worth it is not only about function, and the heirloom tier is selling something function cannot. These are objects a reviewer can shake and report the magnets hold like a goddamn gorilla. Objects described as utterly gorgeous and built to last a lifetime. The honest math, split across a regular group as a shared table piece or bought as a once-in-a-decade gift, an heirloom tower is absolutely worth it. As an impulse buy for a solo player who games twice a year, it is not. Know which player you are. The craft is real either way. The question is whether asterisk you will live with the object long enough to honor it. Split it as a group heirloom, the most repeated advice on premium towers from people who own them. They're a significant investment, but one worth considering, especially if multiple people split the cost as a group gift. A shared table piece amortizes beautifully across a regular group. Match the wood to the player choosing a hardwood as a gift. Cherry and Padauk red warm and reddish and are forgiving. Black walnut is the classic chocolate brown serious look. Wenge, purple heart and ebony are statement woods that age dark and dramatic. Pick for the recipient's table, not the swatch. How do I choose the right dice tower for my table? What are the real trade-offs? Every tower is a negotiation among five forces. Name your priorities and the choice makes itself. 1. Noise. Hard acrylic and bare resin are loud. Felt velvet linings and wood paddles are quiet. If you game late, near sleeping kids or record at the table, prioritize a lined interior above all else. 2. Footprint and storage. A fixed hardwood tower is a beautiful permanent fixture but eats shelf space. Folding bamboo, leatherette and magnetically collapsible hardwood, wormwood, packed down to nearly flat. Match this to whether the tower lives out or gets put away. 3. Assembly. Tool-free card slot folders, bear dice and magnetic systems, wormwood, elderwood assemble in seconds. Some kit towers need glue or fiddly tabs, fine once, annoying if you pack it every session. 4. Capacity and the tray. Will it catch a fistful of dice or just one or two? Tower and tray combos, C4 labs holds 14 in the tray pockets, elderwood scroll solve containment properly. A bare tower with no tray is only half a solution. 5. Soul. Yes, soul. A transparent crystal twister that lets you asterisk watch the tumble. A dragon skull resin centerpiece. A leather scroll case that hides on a shelf between sessions. These change how the table feels. Decide which two of these five you cannot compromise on. The rest is grain and finish. The 5-second checklist before you buy: ask, is the interior lined, the noise? Does it fold or collapse, storage? Does it come with or pair with a catch tray, containment? Tool-free to set up, convenience? Will I still love looking at it in 5 years, soul? 3 or more yeses is a keeper. Spend up only if the object itself brings you joy. There is no shame in either choice. Final verdict, but remember the keeper's truth. Every tower here rolls dice fairly. Buy for the table you actually have, and for the joy the object brings you. The randomness comes free. Frequently asked questions. Do dice towers make rolls more fair? Yes, in the way that matters most. A tower removes your hand from the throw, eliminating the controlled roll technique that lets a practiced player favor certain faces. A peer-reviewed Western Kentucky University study, 30 D20s, 3,000 plus rolls each, have confirmed that the method of rolling heavily influences the outcome. A tower gives the most consistent, repeatable, tamper-resistant roll on a tabletop. The one thing it cannot do is fix a physically biased die. For true fairness, pair the tower with sharp-edged precision dice. What is the best dice tower overall in 2026? Are dice towers loud, and how do I quiet one down? Bare acrylic, hard plastic, and unlined wood towers can be noisy. The fixes, Buy a felt or velvet-lined model, C4 Labs, leatherette folders like Cthulhu's Tower, or line an open-design tower yourself with adhesive felt or craft foam on the internal baffles and the tray floor. Lining drops the rattle dramatically and protects your table and dice. Do I need a dice tray as well as a tower? Effectively, yes. A bare tower just sends dice spilling in a new direction. The cleanest setups are tower and tray combos where the outlet feeds a lined tray. C4 Labs includes one. Elderwood's Scroll and Wormwood's Personal Tray pair with their towers. If you buy a standalone tower, budget for a tray too. What size dice can a dice tower handle? Most quality towers, including budget folders like the Bear Dice and TDSO, handle the full standard polyhedral set D4, D6, D8, D10, D12, and D20 at standard, /16 size. Oversized, chonk, dice or many dice at once may need a wider tower. Check the inlet dimensions if you roll big handfuls or jumbo dice. Is an expensive hardwood dice tower actually worth it? You pay for craft, grain, longevity, and feeling. An heirloom tower, wormwood, elderwood, is genuinely worth it as a lifetime piece, a shared group table fixture, or a milestone gift, and not worth it as an impulse buy for an occasional player. Can I make my own dice tower with a 3D printer? Absolutely. It's one of the best values in the hobby if you already print. Budget for filament resin, long print times, /45 hours for a large detailed model, supports and finishing, and line the interior with felt, since bare plastic is loud. How old is the dice tower? Is it a modern invention? Far from modern. Dice towers date to at least the 4th century. The Roman Vetways Freudsheim Dice Tower, found in Germany, is roughly 1,700 years old and uses essentially the same internal baffle design as towers sold today. They've been used to ensure random, tamper-resistant rolls, including in tournament backgammon, for centuries. What's the best portable or travel dice tower? For the quietest travel option, Cthulhu's Tower folds completely flat with a velvet-lined interior.